Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It seems that just about everybody in America right now today is talking about one thing, and for good reason. The report released by former Senator, in fact, former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, concerning the use of performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, was and is a bomb set right off in the midst of one of the biggest sectors of our popular culture, professional sports. Perhaps the most quintessentially American of those professional sports, baseball. Here's just a bit of what he had to say.
For more than a decade, there has been widespread illegal use of anabolic steroids and other performance-enhancing substances by players in Major League Baseball in violation of federal law and baseball policy.
Now, there are a lot of people who are scratching their heads saying, well, we thought we knew that all along. Well, it's one thing for everyone basically to know it, for the culture intuitively to have come to that conclusion, for evidence to have been randomly put together by the media and others in the culture. It's another thing for an official investigation to bring that report. And you must remember this. This is an official investigation conducted under the authority of the Commissioner of Baseball. And the report came back concluding that this sport is violating federal law. This is no small matter. This is indeed a blockbuster. The ripples of this are going to be playing out in the culture for years. And my guess is that especially with the prosecution of Barry Bonds coming up, there's going to be a lot more to come. This raises issues for us, not about the chemical aspect of this so much, not about the legal aspects of this, but intelligent Christians ought to be thinking through, what does this say to us? As a prompt for the conversation about not only the role of sports, but the role of human enhancement. Well, you know, what about the entire motivation behind this? Bigger, better, faster, more effective, stronger, greater endurance. These are all things that these athletes are working for. If they're not working for it, they're going to lose their job. They're going to lose their place. Someone else is going to edge them out. This has led to basically an arms race for athletic ability. And chemically enhanced, hormonally enhanced, illegally enhanced athletic ability. We're going to be talking about the ethics of human enhancement today as related to this. If there is outrage over this report, I want us to focus on why there should be such outrage. What's wrong about the use of these chemicals? Not just that it's illegal, but why would the law be there in the first place? What's wrong with this? What do we as Christians, having a uniquely biblical understanding of what it means to be human, to add to this discussion? The phone number for this conversation, as for all, is 877-893-8255. Just call us at 877-893-TALK. We will get to this issue in just a few minutes. First, to review some other issues in the news. This is not so much news as it is confirmation. The Office for National Statistics in Great Britain is indicating that the baby boom right now among women is in Great Britain among women in their 30s, and it's not much of a boom. In other words, women in their 20s simply are delaying having children. The decade in which women are most physically able to conceive and bear children is now becoming the decade in which fewer and fewer are. And the reasons for this may be many, but the Office of National Statistics here in Great Britain is suggesting that is there in Great Britain, is suggesting that the issue is that they are professionals. They're giving themselves to professional education, professional preparation, and to career. Very, very interesting. At the same time, Roger Cohen, writing from St. Andrews, Scotland, in the New York Times, says something very, very interesting. He writes, referring to the fact that even as he is there in Scotland, the cathedrals are largely empty. He cites what Mitt Romney said in his speech last week when Romney compared the United States to secular Europe, speaking of Europe's cathedrals being, quote, so inspired, so grand, so empty. He contrasted that with America, where there is a great deal of public Christianity, a public religiosity, and, of course, the rates of church going are much higher. Now, Mr. Cohen is suggesting that perhaps secular Europe has an advantage over America on this. In other words, he's suggesting that maybe the cost of having religious people, Christians, or perhaps in the case of Mr. Romney, a Mormon in public office is just too high. Karl Kaiser, a German political scientist speaking in the U.S., cited by Mr. Cohen, said, religiosity now seems at least as important for public office as leadership abilities or qualities. The entrance condition for the American presidential race is being religious. If you're not, you have no chance, which troubles Europeans, end quote. Mr. Cohen writes, religion informed America's birth, but its distancing from politics was decisive to the Republic's success. Indeed, the devastating European experience of religious war influenced the founders' thinking. That's why I find Romney's speech and the society it reflects far more troubling than Europe's vacant cathedrals. Now, I find that troubling. In other words, what you have here is a columnist of the New York Times saying that let's look to secular Europe and see that maybe that's a better way. It tells us actually very little about America that he would write this column, because most of America will never read it. The thin slice of Americans who read it will likely just dismiss it. But it tells you a great deal about the editorial elite at the New York Times and about perhaps, indeed, the readership that he is first focused on here, that is Mr. Cohen, there in Manhattan and in the larger northeastern region. It tells you something about why that region of the country is indeed perhaps more secularized than the rest of the country. It tells you why the elites prefer the two coasts in many ways, the East Coast and the Left Coast, as they are often called, and why at least some of them openly refer to the rest of the country as flyover country. This has to do with even the differences between red and blue America and all the rest, but rarely do you see a statement quite so straightforward as that offered by Roger Cohen in the New York Times. Of course, this week saw Al Gore, the former vice president of the United States, go to Oslo to receive his Nobel Peace Prize. He gave an address that included his usual message, in which he said that climate change is, and I quote, real, rising, imminent, and universal, end quote, as a threat to the future of the Earth. Mr. Gore called upon negotiators who are now working on a successor to the Kyoto Protocol to establish, as the New York Times said, a universal global cap on emissions, and to ratify and enact a new treaty by the beginning of 2010. He singled out the United States and China as the world's largest emitters of carbon dioxide and suggested that these two countries have failed to meet their obligations in mitigating emissions. They should, he said, stop using each other's behavior as an excuse for stalemate. Now, there really wasn't much of a surprise in what the vice president had to say. But it is interesting to see that this speech was no longer considered highly controversial. I mean, that's one of the amazing things to me. That's the reason we're talking about it today. Here you had a former vice president of the United States named to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, going to receive and giving his address, and the story was not really much covered in the American press. And I think it's because Al Gore, on the one hand, has been pretty successful in getting his message out. I mean, when you know that Al Gore is going to speak, you pretty much know he's going to speak on global warming and all the rest. I think the other reason it didn't make such a splash is because Americans are now catching on to two things. I think we are now witnessing the development of something of a national consensus. The first is that Al Gore is at least partly right, that there is a genuine phenomenon of global warming, that it does present something that is likely to be a challenge to human beings, that it may be that there are some things human beings can do about the problem. I think that's part of the consensus. But I think there's another side of the consensus, and I think this is why there's so little attention to a lot of this in terms of actual policy proposals. I think the consensus on the second part is there are no specific policy proposals that Americans are ready to accept. You can blame whomever you want to blame in government. You can blame whatever party. The reality is that neither of the major political parties, no force in the United States Congress or the Senate, nor the White House, is bringing a specific set of policy proposals that they expect the American people to accept. And until that happens, all of this is basically, more hot air added to global warming. The reality is that what we need is a sensible, straightforward, acceptable set of specific policy proposals. Otherwise, it's doing nothing more than, turning the thermostat up on the national mood, and Americans seem not to pay attention to that for very long. Speaking of paying attention, I hope Americans are paying attention to a lot of the news that is coming out in the wake of the announcement 2 weeks ago of the successful development of pluripotent stem cells from human skin cells without the involvement of a human embryo. Already, there are now high hopes for therapeutic applications of some of this technology. Because it turns out that this may solve not only the moral problem of the destruction of the embryo, but may also lead to ways of using these cells without some of the complications of rejection that could come from some other technologies. All that remains to be seen, but it is interesting that there are already news accounts coming out suggesting that the use of stem cell technology, and now from stem cells obtained ethically, could be very promising. We have to hope that it's so. From the very beginning, the announcement of this technology has held great promise. We have to hope that that promise can be realized, and realized in a way that doesn't do anything to diminish human dignity. We'll be back to talk about human dignity, human enhancement, and the announcement about the scandal in baseball on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 877-8-GOLD-101.
Well, I've been fascinated by the discussion that has ensued just in the last few hours after the release of the now so-called Mitchell Report on the use of performance-enhancing steroids, the illegal use of such materials and substances within Major League Baseball. Now, I'm shocked, I guess, by the fact that some people are shocked. It seems like this is kind of like right out of the movie Casablanca. You know, how in the world can you feign or pretend to be shocked at this point, given all the evidence? But I'm also surprised by a lot of the conversation, focused more on the personalities involved, big names mentioned in this report, than on the issues. I want us to talk about the issues, and I am very, very pleased to welcome to the program Frank Pastore, who is the Drive Time host on KKLA 99.5 FM in Los Angeles. He's a good friend, a wonderful talk show host, and he has some particular expertise to bring to this equation because, after all, he pitched for the Cincinnati Reds from 1979 to 1985, ended his career with the Minnesota Twins in 1986. Frank, welcome to the program.
Al Mueller, it's great to be with you. And, yeah, I'm a little surprised by how many people are on the list. I expected maybe, you know, a dozen or 20. I mean, but my goodness, what is the count? Is it 52? Is that the count?
That's what I've heard. I haven't counted them myself, but it's well over 50.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, my initial reaction is, looking at the list, I'm shocked at how many pitchers are on the list. Typically, back in my era, pitchers, I mean, you were never to get involved with steroids because it would strengthen your muscles but not your ligaments and your tendons, and you'd end up blowing out a shoulder and elbow. So pitchers, it was unheard of. I mean, I don't believe a single pitcher back when I ended my career in 86-87 was doing it. I mean, really, no one. I mean, we knew the regular players that were doing it because they were the, you know, the doubles hitters in one season. They come back to spring training, gain 30 pounds, and all of a sudden they're popping balls out of the ballpark because they had been lifting weights and eating right. Yeah. But
Wheaties,
pitchers,
Frank.
But pitchers,
Wheaties.
No, we didn't do that. I'm shocked by how many pitchers are on this list.
Now, see, that's something, and I'll just admit, this is an area off my expertise. I wouldn't have known to think about that. But you're shocked by the fact that pitchers are there, and some big name pitchers, Frank.
Oh, huge, yeah. Andy Pettit, Roger Clemens, and the list goes on. And I'm just wondering, oh my gosh, where do we go from here now? And of course, the stigma on the game. Oh my, I just feel sad. I'm as an ex-major league player for 8 years. I'm saddened that this has occurred. It's an insult. It's almost like a family sin now that's out of the closet. But in a good sense, now that it's out of the closet, let's clean it up.
All right, Frank, before we get to the clean it up, I want us to get to what's wrong here. Because, you know, there are a lot of Americans who are out there saying, this is wrong. This is scandalous. As a matter of fact, George Mitchell never actually said why this was wrong. Mm. You know, he said it broke federal law and baseball policy. Well, that isn't going to convince Americans. It's certainly not going to convince a 16-year-old high school player deciding right. What he's going to do.
Right.
That it violates that rule. Why is it wrong to use these substances?
It will kill you and destroy your body, number one. I mean, set aside the moral argument of cheating, because that the rebuttal to that is, well, then let everybody do it. Let's just start a new sport where any illegal activity you want to get involved in, all steroids are okay. Let's not even test for them. And then sort of like what pro wrestling had become, right? Let's set that aside. Let's get down to the fact that this destroys you and it kills you. And it is terribly dangerous to the human body. And for that reason alone. And Albert, I know Al as well. You know as well as I do. When I have gone in front of young athletes and I ask them this question, would you be willing to sacrifice 10 or 15 years of your life if you were guaranteed the gold medal or to win a Cy Young or be a star running back in the NFL? Almost every single athlete says yes.
Be willing to make the trade.
Be willing to make the trade for 10 or 15 years off their life. Die at 60 rather than 75 if they could go into the Hall of Fame or become a world-class athlete.
You know, and just to put it bluntly, there are some real messages being given to young men about this, about the dangers of it. As a matter of fact, I just on the Internet very quickly pulled down a brochure given to high school athletes, male high school athletes, in a state. I won't mention it. But anyway, it said one of the things is that you're likely to have shrunken testicles to reduce your reproductive ability. Now, I think if you're talking to teenage guys, you're likely to catch their attention with that. But,
yeah,
you know, evidently not.
Well, let's hope that this, as a result of this entire investigation, the Mitchell Report, and what Major League Baseball is going to do in response, that we just stigmatize the use of steroids for young athletes at the high school level. I think the story you may be referring to is out of Texas, where they're going to do random testing in high schools. And they have been doing random testing for steroids among high school athletes because football is such a big deal there. Maybe that's the direction we go for a while, Al. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you another question, because you're also theologically trained. We're Christians in this conversation. We're going to be explicitly so. We believe that human beings aren't mere machines, that indeed we were made by a creator in his image. We believe as Christians that indeed we are to worship God with our bodies, in the sense of understanding that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, that liberates human beings from worshiping the body itself, but rather understanding that we are to inhabit our bodies for the glory of God. Now, there are a host of ethical issues to relate to that, from, you know, obesity to a lack of exercise.
Right.
And the use of performance-enhancing drugs on the other side. But let's just focus on that issue for just a moment and say, let's assume that you could take these drugs and it wouldn't, say, cut years off your life.
Right.
Would it still be right to endlessly pursue some kind of human enhancement?
Well, I think I'm going to surprise you with my answer. If it were not long-term harmful to your body, and everyone was allowed access to it, it would be considered like a vitamin, right? The problem is this is illegal, and it is incredibly harmful to your body that there are long-term health benefits. And so I think, Al, if there were no long-term benefits to it, and everybody had access to it, it would be like a normal protein powder or a health supplement or a vitamin. But see, that's not the case. I mean, I appreciate your hypothetical, but the reality is, no, it's terribly harmful. That's why the government has chosen to make it as an illegal substance, and it is cheating. It's like corking your bat. It's like pine tar on the baseball. It's in that category, but worse, because young kids are starting to do it, and they're ruining their lives as a result.
Now, let me just, because I really did not know how you would answer that question, Frank. I have some concerns, given the hypothetical there, that many people think there are no limits on human enhancement, because when you start looking at longevity technologies and all the rest of this, chironics, I mean, chirogenics,
right.
I mean, you're looking at some pretty macabre, strange, weird stuff. Most of us would respond at least with what Leon Cass calls the yuck factor to that.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't look right, smell right, feel right.
Exactly right.
But when it comes to these performance-enhancing drugs, I want to ask you another question, because after all, you made it to the big leagues. You
right.
pitched for the Reds and for the Twins. You know, I think the mythos of American sport, and let's just deal with a boy who wants to play baseball, is that if you work really hard and you have some innate ability, you can press forward and might have a chance. Do these drugs mean these guys aren't working hard, or it seems to me that they are working hard, they just don't think that's enough?
No. What it is it doubles the workout. For instance, you take two identical physical specimens, and one is on steroids and the other is not. When you do your weightlifting and you do your primarily your weightlifting, when you're on steroids, it doubles and triples that. And your ability to gain muscle mass. That's where it's cheating.
And when you know how competitive these positions are, you know, it would be really hard not to do it when you know the guy who's gunning for your job is doing it.
And that's why we must make it illegal and must get the message to young children that this is terribly dangerous and will not be tolerated.
Frank Pastore, thanks so much for joining us today.
Albert, God bless you. Thank you.
All right, folks, to join the conversation, call 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What would you say to the 16-year-old kid who says, why not? We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I'd really love to know how you would answer a 16-year-old kid who's watching the news conference and seeing this, and he wants to play. He wants to play for his high school team. He wants to get a college scholarship, play for the college team. He wants to go to Major League Baseball. He wants to be rich and famous. He wants to be in the Hall of Fame. He's looking at these guys who in their 30s, like Mark McGwire, are all of a sudden, you know, all booked up and able to hit home runs out of the park. And he's thinking, I know how to get there. But he's also thinking, you know, I've got to stay on this high school team. And I've got to get on a college team and stay on that team. And I got to get myself even Major League Baseball if this is going to work. And it sure looks like the steroid highway is the way to get there. Now you have the report coming down from former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell today. Huge press attention to this. They're at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Manhattan. The so what is now the question. So what? I'd love to know from your Christian perspective, your Christian parent, Christian coach, Christian athlete, or just someone who's fascinated and loves the game. I want to know what you think about this. Why is there such outrage directed so diffusely at this question? What specifically is wrong about this? The number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Give us a call. Join the conversation. And when we talk about an issue like this, I always want to say right up front, sports is not my primary area of expertise. There are people hearing me out there who are laughing, thinking that that's the understatement they've heard. You know, that's just not really it. But I do know an awful lot of people who live and die by sports, who really understand sports and love sports, are offended by this. I'm having a hard time getting even some of them to say exactly why. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. The report, by the way, is getting a lot of attention for the fact that it names names, over 50 names, including some of the biggest names in baseball. Roger Clemens, who won the Cy Young Award a record 7 times. 7 players who won the Most Valuable Player Award. Names like Barry Bonds, Ken Caminiti, Jose Canseco, Jason Giambi, Juan Gonzalez, Mo Vaughn. You're talking about big names here, including 3 of the 10 home run leaders of all time, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Rafael Palmeiro. Lots of big names here. Lots of names I don't talk about every day, as a matter of fact. But these are names nonetheless that are big in baseball because of big achievement. Now, George Mitchell comes out and says, these achievements were chemically enhanced. Not only chemically enhanced, but in ways that violated federal law and baseball policy. A lot of other ethical issues related to this. Why so late? Baseball had plenty of evidence that federal law was being broken and that their own policies are being flaunted and did nothing. Why so late? Why Commissioner Bud Selig just 2 years ago asking George Mitchell to take this on? Was it public pressure? I mean, certainly the issue over Barry Bonds, the federal investigation, brought a lot of heat. But I will tell you this. If you know anything about the way American public culture works, you know how our legal system works, this is basically the rip in the tent. There's going to be a whole lot more. A whole lot more. Because prosecutors all over the country at every level are going to smell an opportunity for prosecution. Here you had the former Senate Majority Leader, one of the most respected lawyers in America, say that federal law was being broken in almost every team, at every level, throughout all these years. You know, watch out. Even if Major League Baseball takes no retroactive sanctions, that doesn't mean prosecutors aren't going to prosecute for what can be ascertained. And by the way, you look at the report, I have it right here in my hands. It's huge. Hundreds of pages long, including photostats of receipts, checks, all kinds of documentary evidence that you know is causing prosecutors and others to salivate all over the United States. This is just the beginning, not the end. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Sean, listening on WFIA in New Albany, Indiana. Go ahead, Sean.
How you doing, Dr. Mohler?
I'm doing well. Glad to hear from you. What do you get from all this?
Well, as I see it, you know, we're created in God's image, and, you know, we're to praise and honor God in everything we do to glorify Him. And one of those ways we do that, especially in the sporting arena, is to praise and honor Him by the abilities He gives us, the natural abilities that He gives us, that He blesses us with. And these gifts get corrupted by these things like steroids or, you know, anything else people use that I think, you know, to cheat with. And I just think that just pulls the glory away from God and says, you know, my doctor did it, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, very few of them have been willing to say their doctor did it until they're caught. Up until that point, they're very glad to stand in the limelight, be handed the keys to the sports car, get the award, and say, hey, I did it. Worked really hard this past summer. Thanks for your call, Sean. To join the conversation, call 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Sean had his say. I'd love to hear what you have to say. He brought into the equation the Christian understanding of the image of God. Where do we go from here? 877-893-TALK. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 877-8-GOLD-101.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, it was a fascinating part of the discussion with Frank Pastore about the ethics of this from a Christian perspective. And I think it's very, very important that we be intellectually honest and say that if you take antibiotics and you take vitamins, you know, I've had some people say to me, you can go to the local health food store and buy creatine or something like that. Not illegal, but maybe performance enhancing. You know, can you do that? You know, here's my guess. My guess is if you went to the average evangelical church and you had a pill and you said you take this pill, you can have 10 years without aches, pains, disease, and add 10 years to your life, and there's no downside, and everybody acknowledges that that's true. I have a feeling everybody would take it. And as long, Frank Pastore said, as it's available to everyone, you know, it's not just being parceled out to a few. So I think most of us would enhance up to a certain limit. But, you know, from a Christian worldview perspective, we have to remember that our bodies are decaying whether we like it or not, that it's a part of the curse of sin in Genesis 3, that we are going to die. So we can't buy into these performance-enhancing, longevity-enhancing kind of promises that say we're going to transform the human being into an entirely new species. And if you don't think that conversation is going on, just look in the media. It is going on. But I think Frank is exactly right. The most important thing here is that this is cheating, that there are immediate health risks to this, documented health risks, that it isn't at all plausible that it would be ethical to take these drugs. But now you see them being forced all the way down. I thought George Mitchell's most fascinating part of the report was where he talked about hundreds of thousands of American youth taking these because they think they have to do it just to make the middle school, high school team, much less the college and professional teams. Let's go to Efren listening on WFIA in Louisville. Go ahead, Efren.
Yeah, I think it's sad that this is happening in baseball. And unfortunately, it's happening in sports all around the world. But I think it's a window into what's happening in just our society in general, the desire to win, the desire to keep up with everybody else, the seeing the carrot out there that everybody else is doing it and they're not getting caught, they're not getting in trouble, has overtaken the desire to do what's right and what we know is we should do. And that's just, I think it's happening in society, not just in sports, but it's sad that it's come to something like this to open people's eyes to that.
Efren, how do you think this is affecting young people, kids?
Oh, I'm actually a youth coach, and it's tough. It's tough to explain to the kids why you should do what's right. And it's not just sports-enhancing drugs. It's cheating all the way around. And it's tough to tell the kids, I would rather you lose and do it honestly and give it everything you got, wrestle with the best of your ability, you know, perform to the best of your ability with what God has given you, and do what's right, even if it means losing, than to cheat and get the glory of winning. You know,
Efren, I am convinced that your statement right there is exactly right. In other words, you are articulating a position deeply rooted in Christian truth, in the biblical worldview. And I'm just going to be honest enough to say I think there'd be an awful lot of teenagers and young guys out there who'd hear that and say, what a loser philosophy. You know, because that's just not in the real world. In the real world, if you want to win, you got to do this. And so, Efren, I believe you're right, but I think that indicates really what we're up against and what George Mitchell's up against, what the Commissioner of Baseball is up against, what this culture's up against in terms of this challenge. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Drew. Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, I think that just the way that the courts and that the baseball, or the MLB, has been so slow to take care of this issue and to address it, especially with guys like Barry Bonds, says something about our culture, because they're not acting to, or they're encouraging young people to do this because they're not acting quickly and harshly. I mean, I think big things need to happen. I think they ought to kick people out of the Hall of Fame. I think they ought to erase people's name off record books. I think they ought to, certain people who have abused this ought to face prison for it. And the fact that we're not, that the courts are not addressing this, that the MLB is not being swift to address it, says something about the fact that, you know, really our culture in a lot of ways is encouraging these young people to take these drugs.
You know, Drew, that's exactly the point that was made by several commentators today who said, look, this is a feel-good news conference. It's a news conference in which you have a report come down that says the law was violated. Baseball laws were flaunted, but let's take no action against those who are no longer playing the game. You know, or what is that? Can you imagine a report that said banks were robbed, accounts were pillaged, but let's not go back and prosecute or take any action against those who are no longer actively involved in bank robbing? You know, I don't think anybody would buy into the plausibility of that. And that's why I think a lot of the commentators are right. It was, in that sense, a feel-good press conference. Baseball can now say, hey, we're dealing with this seriously. We just slapped ourselves in both cheeks. We got up there and slapped ourselves in front of the public. One slap to the right of the face, the other slap to the left of the face. It was the players' union's fault. It was the commissioner's fault. It's the owner's fault. It's the players' fault. But we're not going to do anything about it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to Philip. Go ahead, Philip.
Yeah, Dr. Moll, I think this is a form of idolatry when you see people like Marion Jones and Bonds who are exalting themselves above what is true and right and revealed in Scripture. It just proves our own depravity and the wickedness of our own heart.
Now, Philip, let me ask you a question. Is this a temptation you've ever felt in your own life in terms of the athletics?
Sure. I was an athlete in high school and college, and certainly you want the prestige, you want the praise. Obviously, we're lovers of self more than lovers of God and His truth. So, yeah, sure.
Okay, I want to ask you a question, Philip, since you were an athlete both in high school and in college. When you're looking at that challenge, and you know that that nobody cheers for a loser and that everybody loves a winner and that it's so competitive, do you think we're going to be able to combat that kind of pressure even with this kind of report?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the Scripture's clear that Christians aren't to walk according to the course of this world, and I think that's the course that the world is going to take. Whatever means necessary, whatever entertains, is obviously what we're going to do. That's why we have so much sexually explicit things, so much cheating and doping. It's whatever entertains, whatever sells the seats, sells tickets.
Well said, Philip. Sells tickets. And by the way, even in the week that this report came out, you've got incredible contracts being signed in professional baseball. I heard of one, I believe it was over $200 million, the value of the contract. You also have reports coming out right now about how much some of these MLB teams made over the last year. Let's just say Major League Baseball has recovered from its ticket and earnings slump of about a decade ago. It's back, it's big, and big in ways we now know were in many ways chemically enhanced. Violating federal law and the rules of baseball. Now the big question, of course, is so what? Back with final thoughts in just a moment. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Folks, I had a professor in college who used to say that the two most important words after hearing or reading anything were, so what? And I understand exactly what he meant. He meant when you read a book or you read an argument, you heard an argument, listened to a speech, the big question is, so what? I think it's important for Christian preachers to understand. You know, you haven't completed your responsibility to preach and teach, to exposit the Word of God until you explain, so what? And that is really some of what I think is the letdown from the George Mitchell report, because the so what doesn't seem to be up to the reality that was demonstrated there. And there are big questions having to do with what happens now. I mean, for instance, no retroactive kind of action, but supposedly now a call for independent testing and for more constant testing and for testing that keeps up with chemical changes and innovations and all the rest. We'll be watching to see how the players' union and the owners and even the commissioner himself responds to this. But let's change the so what from Major League Baseball to you, to your home, and even to your church. And so let me speak first of all to parents here. You know, if nothing else, make sure that over the dinner table tonight and ongoing, you have a conversation with your kids about what you believe about this. And here's some points to make. Number one, the truth will come out. I mean, the reality is there are an awful lot of names listed today which are now mentioned with some humiliation before the world. Names that have been associated with nothing more than pride and achievement, now an asterisk beside their name, if not in the record books, then at least in the consciousness of those who will say them. There's also the reality that there is a long-term price, and it's interesting that even in the week this came out, there's also a good number of reports in the press about how some of these athletes are aging poorly. There is a price to be paid. We do reap what we sow. And I think the other thing is just to assure your kids, and I beg you to do this, assure your kids that even as they enjoy the dignity and the thrill of competitive athletics, and there is so much good that could come out of that, you can't make an idolatry of sports, you can't make an idolatry of athletic ability, and you can't make an idolatry of the thrill of playing, the idolatry of your own body. It is just something that is going to decay because, well, we know it's that way because of the curse of sin. It's never going to be that we're going to have a discussion here about the achievement of human perfection. That is just not going to happen. But right now, the most important thing perhaps we can do is be seriously Christian when we talk with our own children and among our own families. I would suggest that churches need to have this conversation. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if Christian dads of athletes got together and moms and had a good conversation? And folks, watch your kids. Pray for them. They need protection from all kinds of things, including the pressure to take steroids. Back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmueller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmueller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.